The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Do you think she gives a fuck about your marriage?
You should have thought about that first, Donnie.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Do you remember that time I ate a whole family-sized bag of meanies and I thought it pickled me insides?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
They're really good though.
Pickled onion.
No, I'm being serious. My stomach was topsy-turvy. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on. If you're unfamiliar, lads, meanies are an Irish brand of crisps.
And Monster Munch.
No, they're not at all. And also meanies have been going longer than Monster Munch. Don't start with your fucking bullshit. But meanies are pickled onion crisps and they're so fucking good.
The beef ones are better.
What beef ones? Meanies Monster are their own Munch. Thing. It's not even relevant.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Space Invaders. They were beef one. You can't take them. They're ours.
I don't want Irish crisps are better. Okay. And I will die on this hill.
Well, I've never ate a British bag of crisps. What has turned my insides inside out?
Yeah, but there's plenty of flavour on Irish crisps. This thing, like people going about Walkers. Walkers are okay. They are what they are, yeah? Buy a bag of fucking Walkers and then buy a bag of Tao. See which one you've worn. Or King. King, fucking brilliant crisps.
Right. King, I'll give you that. King are nice crisps. But, right, I got a tip for you Yanks. If you come over to the UK, you get yourself a ham and cheese sandwich and some Walkers ready salted crisps on the side.
See, I would say crisp sandwich is like, yeah, I don't think, like, if you're going to try and say like, Brits are claiming it.
No.
Is that what you, okay.
No. That's why I said a ham and cheese sandwich. A ham and cheese sandwich and a bag of Walkers, has to be Walkers, ready salted crisps. You have them on the side and every time you bite into the sandwich, put a crisp in your mouth as well.
I thought you were going to say a crisp sandwich. I was about to throw hands. What a basic bitch. Ready salted?
Says her who can't hack a bag of crisps.
It was a whole like family size bag. It was a lot of pickled onion. Now, if it had just been like, you know, again, something basic, like ready salted, it would have been maybe a little bit bloated. Yeah. But fine. Or cheese and onion, grand. But it was the pickled onion, whatever was it. I thought it was just flavourings.
Speaking of salted, do you want to give them the warning? Oh, no, they weren't salted.
Oh, the Doritos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen them. In the shops, they had this like, I don't know if it's a limited edition. I assume it was. But they had
Minecraft, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. They had a... they had Doritos, which were just vinegar. No salt, just vinegar. And I was like, is that going to be too much? But right, I love vinegar. So I got them anyway.
They're only a quid.
Only a quid. I ate the bag, not in one sitting, over a few days, mind you. But the last sitting, I ate the most of them. The next day, well, lads, the skin, I'm not exaggerating here, the skin on my tongue started peeling off. I was brushing my teeth. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I could like feel it. And then I showed Neil and I was like, what? What's going on? But like, do I fucking thrush? What the fuck is this? Right? So I started looking it up. And then it said, if you eat something, you know, very acidic, and one of the things was specifically vinegar, they said, it can just burn the skin off your tongue. So Doritos did me in.
So do you know a way around that?
Mm.
If you live like me, right? So I'm not a basic bitch. I don't have salt and vinegar crisps. Or vinegar crisps. What I do is I get, again, Walkers ready salted, and then you get your onion vinegar and you sprinkle some on and you close the bag, shake it. then eat them.
It just turns to mush.
No, at the bottom it does, but you drink that out.
Like, you're a fucking pig. You said, no, seriously, it's so much better than salt and vinegar.
It is.
You know, me being the person here who loves vinegar, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll give it a try. Just slop in a bag.
Got one even better for you. Instead of vinegar, replace it with Henderson's relish. Sprinkle that on your ready salted crisps and shake the bag. Beautiful.
I actually did try to order you some Henderson's crisps, because they do them now.
But, yeah, but they're not the same as putting Henderson's on crisps.
Well, to be honest with you, the shipping and everything was outrageous. They really do not want to ship to Ireland.
Brexit.
No, yeah, it was too much. And also the weight they're willing to ship is practically nothing. I was struggling to get a few fucking bags of crisps sent over. Never mind the actual relish. Ridic.
But yeah, like, sounds like we're joking around, but them Doritos, I saw what it did to her tongue. Don't get them Doritos.
The skin was peeling off my tongue for the next day and a half.
Yeah.
Like, I brushed my tongue and I was trying to get some of it off.
Yeah, your tongue looked fresh.
Thank you.
Because all the skin and dirt had gone.
Dirt. No, but like, I was trying to brush it off as much as I could because it was like just peeling off. No, it was just like sloughing. Is that the right word? Sloughing off?
Any wrestling fans will get this. She came out of that bathroom looking like Gangrel. Gangrel?
No, I don't get the reference.
He was a wrestler, but his persona was, but he was a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd drink this cup of blood on his entrance and spit it out.
Well, my tongue wasn't bleeding, Neil.
Well, his mouth were red.
Yeah, my mouth wasn't red. It was like white on my tongue because all the skin was peeling off.
No, but where the skin had peeled, you'd got Gangrel mouth.
My mouth was fine. Stop exaggerating. But no, it was weird. Don't, stay away from them. No
Gangrel. Good. So, unrelated. Crank on UK. Don't know what's wrong with them, but they've invited us back, not only for London, but don't worry about that. That's October next year. We're going to Manchester. They're hosting the first ever Crank on UK in Manchester on the 27th of September.
Yeah, so Neil is very excited to be heading back over and heading up north, aren't you?
Yeah, it's
up north.
It's not where like ideally want to be.
I like Manchester. Beautiful city.
Didn't you cover Strange Ways?
I did, yeah. Twice. We also talked about it on someone else's podcast. I'll stew. No, I love Manchester. And if any of you guys are wanting to attend CrimeCon in Manchester, use code MORTAL for 10% off your ticket.
And it's only one day.
Yeah, they're just doing the one day for Manchester. So if it's one of those things of, you know, travel or whatever, I get it's expensive, but it might be a nice way to kind of dip your toe into CrimeCon, see if you like it.
Yeah, and there's actually breakfast and, is it breakfast and dinner or breakfast?
Breakfast and lunch.
So it's breakfast and dinner included. So
lunch,
you can...
Neil, you need to say lunch. People will think you're talking about dinner.
No, because if they're from Manchester,
yeah,
they know I'm talking about dinner.
But they might not be tea. From Manchester. And like I've just said, if you are travelling and wanting to go to it.
Right. I just want to say before I say this, I'm not upper class and up myself. Right. So there's breakfast and lunch included. So you get to sit and scran some food with us and then have some drinks later on. If you come in, that is. But if you come in, use code MORTAL for 10% off.
A man was poisoned by his fiance. Her excuse? Well, he looked tired. And yep, she almost got away with it. I am Tabitha, host of Housewives of True Crime. And I'm here to bring you the stories of sneaky spouses, murderous moms, and sweet small town justice. Each week I break down real life crimes with a little humor, a little speculation, and a whole lot of can you believe this happened? We cover crimes, the cover-up, and when we're lucky, the takedown. Because around here, we believe in bedtime by 9 and justice before then. Housewives of True Crime. New episodes are every week wherever you get your podcasts.
So, with that out of the way, what you got for me today? Well, what you got for us today?
Well, today we are going to be talking about Dr. Donald Klein.
German.
Well, maybe his ancestry, but he is American.
Okay. Oh yeah, Donald. You don't have a Donald who's German.
Don. Donald has been described as confident, self-assured, or as one previous co-worker described him...
Pompous prick.
Arrogant and constantly trying to one-up you.
So I was on the money.
On the money there. Two defining aspects of Donald's life seem to be his faith and his career. An elder of his church and a well-respected doctor working in gynecology and fertility. Tragedy struck in 1963. While out driving, Donald hit and killed a 4-year-old girl. After this incident, Donald was said to have become traumatized, and not long after is when he found religion. Donald is devout in his faith, even performing baptisms at his home in his pool. In 1979, Donald opened his own fertility clinic in Indianapolis. Around this time, sperm banks weren't really a thing. And it wasn't uncommon for doctors to offer donor specimens, which were mostly provided by medical students.
I thought you were going to say something else then. I thought you were going to say, you know, doctors offer what? Their services? That's where I thought you were going then.
Jacoba Ballard said that while growing up, she always felt somewhat outside of her family. She had blonde hair and blue eyes. And this was in contrast to her family with more olive skin tones, dark hair and dark eyes.
But that doesn't mean out. Like, it takes a brunette and a blonde to make a ginner.
No, that's not true.
Well, that's what I was always told.
Yeah, but you're told a lot of things. No, it's a gene.
Yeah, so it's a cross gene, isn't it?
No, it's a gene you have.
Oh.
If me and you had a child that was ginger, it'd be because there is a gene.
Yeah.
It's not crossing my fair hair with your dark hair.
Oh.
It's not like mixing paint, Neil.
Okay.
Her mother would tell her, at the age of 10, that she was conceived using a sperm donor. Her mother was told that the sperm being used was that of a medical student, and also that the donor would only be used a maximum of 3 times. So, with that... there was a possibility that Jacoba had siblings. Jacoba contacted Dr. Klein in hopes of being given the information to find any possible half-siblings she had. But he told her that the donors are anonymous and therefore he could not reveal any details.
See, I didn't know that, but they were capped to three goes.
I think that was more so within his clinic. I'm not actually sure what the regulations are, you know, from country to country, but I mean, of course it should be.
Yeah.
You know? In 2014, Jacoba decided to use a 23andMe DNA test. After submitting her DNA, Jacoba found out that she had 7 siblings from the donor. She said her initial reaction was one of excitement, shortly followed by concern. After doing some digging and contacting some of the matches listed, it became apparent they all had one thing in common. All of the siblings' mothers had been patients of Dr. Klein. Jacoba managed to get in contact with 2 of Donald's children from his marriage. They said that they had spoken with their father, who admitted to them that when he did not have access to a donor, he did use his own sperm, but there was no more than 10 babies born via his sperm donation.
Who said that? The doctor?
The doctor was using his own sperm.
That's a bit, like...
sick, twisted.
I was going to say intrusive. Not intrusive.
But yes, intrusive, yeah.
Yeah, intrusive.
Quite physically and emotionally intrusive.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
So you did that with 10 women?
Yeah. When it was finally arranged for Jacoba and a few of her siblings to meet with Donald, it was said that he appeared cold. And Jacoba noticed that, on arrival, he had a gun strapped to his hip. She felt this was an attempt to intimidate them. During this meeting, Donald said that he only did this to help, because the women were desperate to have a child. He also upped the number from the previous stated 10, to now saying there was no more than 15.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Mm.
Is it going to go up in fives?
While at the table, Donald produced a piece of paper with scripture on it. Jeremiah 1:5. If you're unfamiliar with Jeremiah 1:5, it states, quote, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, this was apparently one of Donald's favourite scriptures.
I bet it fucking was.
Well, of course, Jacoba was disgusted, and she stated that she was not going to let him use her God to justify his actions. After the revelation that Donald had used his own specimen without the consent or knowledge of, as he stated, 15 women, Jacoba reached out to the Attorney General's office in Indiana. But all she received was a generic response with no follow-up. Desperate for someone to listen to her and hopefully offer some help, Jacoba contacts Angela Gnota of Fox 59, and she decides to pick up the story. Angela contacts Donald Klein, who denied that he was the father and refused to provide a sample for a DNA test.
Can you do that?
Well, yeah, it's just a journalist.
Investigate.
No, it's a journalist.
Yeah. If you've got nothing to hide, you'd give up a sample.
Well, this is it. Donald had a lot to hide. He was completely panicked that they were going to run a story about what he had done. So he contacts Jacoba and says, quote, "If this came out, my marriage will be over."
So what?
Exactly. He also said to her, "The world does not need to know."
Do you think she gives a fuck about your marriage?
You should have thought about that first, Donnie. After Donald's attempt to play the victim and hopefully silence the story, Jacoba's efforts really ramp up. She keeps getting more and more matches on these DNA sites. After a while, and after Donald realizes that Jacoba is not backing down, he finally agrees to meet with Angela, but he requests that there is no audio, no video, and that they meet outside of the news station. When they meet up at the arranged time, he shows up again with a gun. He also makes sure Angela knows that he is armed by asking if guns are allowed in this restaurant.
She can't have a mic, but he can have a gun.
Yeah. Come on, Don.
Okay.
While speaking with Angela, Donald again tries to play the victim and tells her that this is going to ruin his marriage. Angela simply tells him that she has a duty to report the truth. Now.
You weren't thinking of his wife when you were putting his... In the mothers.
Hmm. Very technical terminology there, Jesus. Now, not long after Angela's meeting with Donald, Jacoba discovers that the lug nuts have been removed from all four of her tires. Another one of the siblings, Julie, her drive had been hacked and every one of her emails regarding Donald had been erased. Another sibling, Heather, started receiving harassing phone calls. Heather actually found out that she was one of the siblings after her husband had bought her an at-home DNA test for Christmas. Now, can you imagine?
Fuck.
Can you imagine? Like, Merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
That actually Jacoba did speak about and said that basically every kind of holiday season, it's kind of, they're almost expecting
more to come
more
out.
More matches, yeah. Because it's quite a common gift for people to receive, apparently.
Yeah, because you've got to think, people are like, I want to see how Irish I am. And then it's...
Well, you don't think it's going to be fucking this, do you?
No. I tell you what, I bet Klein was shitting himself when all Ancestry and all that started to come about. I bet he thought, oh no.
All of these fuckers do. You know, whether it's some shit like this or it's a fucking killer, what have you.
Yeah.
There's always... It's like they're now they must be just fucking scuttering themselves. I mean, if we can catch a Golden State Killer with this shit.
Mm.
So, regardless of the harassment that the siblings were facing, they kept going with the investigation, building up more and more about Donald, and further women emerged whose consent and knowledge he had disregarded. Another woman who had been a patient of Dr. Klein, she had been led to believe that the sample used was her husband's. She then had to break the news to him that his daughter was not biologically his. His response to the news was to break down in tears and say that Dr. Klein had, quote, taken everything away from me.
Yeah, like it would be a gut punch, but it's still your kid.
Of course, you know, I mean, he's not going to love her any less. obviously, but it's just how fucking dare you do this. In cases where a donor was selected for insemination, what Donald was said to have done was advise his patients not to disclose to the children that they were conceived through the help of a donor. But this was not uncommon for doctors to recommend this at the time. But given Donald's behaviour, it takes on a much more sinister meaning.
What do you mean that were common? Like, you help them get pregnant, but once that kid is born, they're the parent. They'll do the parenting. If they feel it's best to tell the kid.
There was just a lot more judgment surrounding artificial insemination at the time.
Right, okay.
Another woman who found out that she was one of the siblings. Can you guess how she found out? You'll never guess, but I'll give you a chance.
Something to do with a crime, doing the like cross DNA thing.
No, Dr. Phil show. She had previously done a DNA test, and when she saw the results with all of the sibling matches, she sort of ignored them, thinking it was a mistake. But when she saw Jacoba on the show and remembered back to having received a message from her, which she also hadn't really taken any heed of, she quickly checked the matches and sees that all of the siblings that were on the show were listed as her match siblings.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Now, this woman was the daughter of one of Klein's old co-workers. The woman who had previously described him as arrogant and a sort of one-up man.
Could you imagine you're like, right, I want to know who my real parents are. And you do the test and it comes back. You've got 20 siblings. You'd be like, fuck off. This is shit.
Yeah.
I wonder how many turned the back on it. They were like, well, this clearly don't work. It says I've got 20 fucking siblings.
I mean, exactly. She was literally like, no, it was obviously a mistake. You know, maybe I'll check it down the line, but whatever. And then you see them on Dr. Phil and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Shit. So, like I said, this woman's mother was a previous co-worker of Dr. Klein. Without her consent, she had been inseminated with Donald's own specimen and had become pregnant with twins. Following on from this, when one of the twins became an adult, Donald became her gynecologist as well. So, for the 2 years that she was his patient, Donald was performing pap smears and breast examinations on his own biological daughter.
Oh my God.
He would have known this. He knew it was his daughter. And he did this.
Oh, that's fucking rotten.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how that fucking woman feels?
Yeah.
Knowing that. Another woman who was a patient of Klein's, Liz White, said that every time she went to his office, he was the only one there, which she found to be strange. Now looking back, the part that stays with her is that while she was waiting in the exam room, undressed and laid on the table, he was elsewhere in the building, masturbating to produce the sperm needed to deceive these women.
Oh my God.
Terrifying, this story.
Fucking hell.
She has said that it's disgusting. Not just that he inseminated her with his own sperm, but the fact that he was on this sort of sexual high while doing so. Over the course of 5 months, Liz said, quote, I was raped 15 times and didn't even know it.
Yeah, you would feel like that, wouldn't you? Fuck.
It's such a hard one as well, because it's this weird fucking grey area. You know what I mean? Legally speaking.
Yeah.
Jacoba said of the ever-expanding pool of siblings, quote, every time we get a new match, I give them this news. And it's like I'm ruining their lives.
It would, but you have to.
Yeah. She's basically, I mean, I want to say forced into this responsibility, but she's also doing the right thing. She's choosing to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, with this, you got to wonder, what in the name of fuck could have possibly possessed this man to do such an awful thing over and over again?
And how many?
Exactly. With him being incredibly reluctant to discuss his behaviour and only allowing small grains of information to slip out once he feels cornered, we may never know what exactly drove him to do this. But there are some theories. One of them being Quiverful.
I've got it in my head, religion.
Yes, that is one theory. So Quiverful is no good. The name derives from a Bible verse which states, quote, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." Also, apparently Jeremiah 1:5 is one of the verses that this group tends to favour.
Huh.
So I assume you're not familiar with quiverful, or are you?
The only quiver I know is what you use to write with.
Quill.
Oh, is that a quill?
Mm.
Oh, to quiver is like a coward, isn't it?
No, but like a quill is what you hold arrows in. You know, the container for arrows.
A quill is?
Quiver.
Oh, I thought you just said it were a quill.
No, a quill is what you write with.
Yeah, but you'd also say someone quivered if they're like...
Yeah, no, yeah, they're quivering, like shaking type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Different thing.
Okay.
So you're unfamiliar with quiverful?
Yeah. Shocking, isn't it?
This sect don't use contraceptives. Their goal is to have as many children as they possibly can. It also follows a belief that men are the head of the households and women who are secondary are solely there to support the man's his wife and to bear children. I'm talking like...
Bit ancient, isn't it?
I'm talking serious devotion, even if there's a medical condition to consider and pregnancy could be life-threatening for the woman, it would be seen almost as maybe a noble way to die. That is your goal in life. You are there to carry and raise the children.
Right.
Nancy Campbell, an influential preacher in this movement, said, you ready for this one?
Go on.
Quote, "He created her with a womb, and in fact, that's the most distinguishing characteristic of a woman. In the American Webster's 1928 dictionary, it says that the woman is a combination of two words, womb and man. She is a womb man."
Fuck off. That sounds like something I'd say, trying to say it's a fact.
Do you know, the thing about it is, right, there's so many words that are, when you look into the backstory, they're no good.
Yeah.
How they became a word. Like, I mean, fucking, you know, hysterectomy and all that. It's just not great, you know?
So these
but, do with that what you will.
So these quivers.
The quiverful movement, yeah.
So say they've got a kid, a daughter. And she grows up and she's unable to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with her?
Yeah, I don't really know because by their logic, you know, what's her place then?
Yeah.
I don't understand this way of thinking. I never have, I never will.
Yeah, I don't get these societies where it's like, right, I want, if it's a boy, he's a soldier, he's going to be strong. And then if it's a woman, she's going to have plenty of kids.
Yeah, I mean, like...
To have boys.
Look, if you have the money, the time, the energy to have a clash of kids, go off, you know, do you.
Yeah.
But it's not for me. Not my scene.
See, I always wanted kids, and then, like, sometimes I still do, but then all I have to do is go out in public.
You see one covered in chocolate, touching everything.
Well, no, it's just the noise of them.
Mm.
And I'm like, nah, can't do it.
Just want a nap, don't you?
Yeah.
So we're going to your neck of the woods for this next little bit of information.
Sheffield.
Derbyshire.
Okay.
A man by the name of Damien from Derbyshire, who follows or at least followed the quiverful movement, said, quote, "I don't want any more at the moment. I'd like to have a break." That's in reference to all the kids that keep popping out.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, right.
Even for the man who's not having to go through the pregnancy and the raising the kids, he's literally like...
Right.
Because for him, it's a lot of financial responsibility as well.
So just to give our foreign listeners... a reference, Derbyshire is, so Chesterfield is in Derbyshire, and Chesterfield is where my dad's friend is from, who got stuck in a mobility scooter. He couldn't get out of a
mobility scooter. His name's not Damien, is it?
No. So just to give you an insight of what it's like around there, he couldn't get out of a mobility scooter on his own.
So with this whole situation, there's a concern of consanguinity. And that is a very valid concern. For these people, they're having to worry about who they date or down the line who their kids are going to date. They don't know who they're related to. And the majority of the siblings live within a 25-mile radius. So again, this is, of course, a very, very valid concern.
Mm. So how many is there?
Oh, don't worry, I'll let you know. As far as the legal implications go, this is a tricky one. You have to figure out what law exactly he is breaking. Although this is one of the most violating things you can do, this case was more centred around deception rather than a specific law being broken. Tim Delaney, the former prosecutor of Marion County, said, quote, "I don't deny that it was a sexual violation, but legally it isn't a sexual violation."
But it is a violation.
Yeah, but again, you got to find the law to be able to try someone, to charge them with something for breaking that law. Do you understand what I mean?
Right. Forget it's sperm. There must be a law against putting a foreign object inside a patient without them knowing. What that law is, I don't know.
Well, to say that, quote, Dr. Klein committed rape, legally speaking, is not true. Joey Madeira, a professor of law at Indiana University, clarified that there is a provision in Indiana law which states, quote, "Rape can include conduct which a victim does not know is sexual, but the perpetrator knows is sexual." So that would be the charge that's most applicable to the situation.
Yeah.
Given the fact that Donald would have been masturbating in another room, knowing that his patient was waiting in the exam room, undressed, laid on the table, I mean, as Jodie stated herself, who's to say when this stops being a sexual act and becomes clinical?
Fucking hell.
In terms of presenting this as a case in front of a jury, there was concerns over whether the jury would be blinded by the fact that these women wanted babies. But this is not exactly an issue of a desire to have a child. To say that is just downplaying the severity of his actions. As if these women should be grateful, even if it wasn't how they envisioned it. The reality is, this is an issue of lack of consent. These women were not given a choice.
Well, the only thing I've got going around my head now is because, like, I've only seen this on TV shows, so I don't know if it is how it's done in the real world. But what I've seen is that people can look through sperm donors' files. So they're anonymous, but it's like there's no diabetes in the family.
Yeah.
The hair colour.
Eye colour. Yeah, you can kind of... So say if you wanted to have a child that looks similar to you and your partner,
yeah,
you could pick someone with, you know, dark hair, dark eyes, or, you know, what have you. Yeah.
Which it does get a bit, it gets a bit into the dog breeding territory of, you know, it's a championship breed and it gets into all that.
Well, I understand from the point of view of like the similar appearance. I mean, me personally, I don't.
Yeah, but you see people like, he's an astronaut, so I'm going to have him. And it's like, well, your kid's not going to be an astronaut.
But do you actually know that, or are you just basing it off friends?
Friends. No, that's what I said at the start. I've only seen it in like TV shows and stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know anyone personally who's gone down this route of using a donor.
Hmm.
So I can't really comment, and I haven't done it myself. So, you know. So where Donald actually ends up getting in trouble was his denial. In a letter to the Attorney General's office, Donald said, quote, "I can emphatically say that at no time did I ever use my own sample." He also stated that he intended to sue Jacoba for slander and or libel. He denied that he had violated these women's wishes and trust. When Angela found out what Donald had told the Attorney General, she got straight onto him and made sure he knew that there was evidence to the contrary. With the denial of his actions, this falls under the category of obstructing justice. And with his further threats, they finally had something they could move forward with.
Good.
Well, the investigation gets underway, and the first thing they do is obtain a warrant for Donald's DNA. Once tested, the probability of paternity was 99.9997% that Jacoba was his biological daughter.
Don't tell me they're going to be like, it's not 100.
No, that's good enough, okay. I think. But you have to remember, this case isn't technically about Klein and the women and children he had deceived. It was about the lies he had told state investigators. So technically it's Klein versus the state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before the trial, Donald pleaded guilty to avoid actually going to trial. Of course, he's not going to want a trial for whatever else he'd done to come out. During proceedings, Jacoba gave a victim impact statement. Quote, Every time I or my half-siblings look up our name, we all have the same issue tied to you. It has caused anguish in everyone, and some of us have wanted to die from this pain. For 30 years, my half-sister Julie believed that her dad was her biological dad. Because of your denials, I feel you have no consideration for the mothers who came to you, us as your biological children, or your wife and the four children you had with her. It was always about you. You lied, you still lie. You even have your family believing you, and that sickens me. Now, that is just part of Jacoba's statement. There were certain words or terms that she was told not to use. As unfair and outrageous as it was, the court was there to consider the charges pertaining to obstruction of justice, not his overall behaviour.
Yeah, so she couldn't stand there in court going, "You sick bastard, you..."
Well, technically, but she gave it a bloody good shot.
Okay.
Like, Jacoba just, she just kept fucking going. They kept calling objection and shit, but she was literally like, "I have something to fucking say."
Yeah. And that's when they cut the mic off, objection, and they fucking cut the mic off and she's like, "I can project."
Yeah. Now, Donald had plenty of people in his corner, with many writing letters in support of him. Believe it or not. One of them being a prosecutor in Boone County where Donald lived.
Mm.
A friend of Donald whose wife had been a patient wrote, quote, "Dr. Klein's always put his patients first. Empathetic and full of compassion, he sought ways to help families through this most tender period where both husband and wife feel helpless. We can also empathize with the couples waiting expectantly because the time is right. And we can understand the devastation that would wash upon them if there would be no viable sperm donor at the critical moment."
So basically, it's salt of the earth and he just keeps giving.
Yeah, so you're trying to... So, I mean, fresh sperm is the best thing. So they're basically saying, well, he was doing the right thing. He was doing the best he could.
Knocking one out in the next room.
Mm-hmm. They're defending that behaviour. Yeah. And like right. I said, the man who wrote this letter, his wife was a patient.
Yeah.
Of his. What okay. the fuck? The judge addressed Donald and stated, quote, "Please remember that whatever happens today during sentencing, that the people that love you are going to continue to love you. With the limited resource that we have, overcrowding at the jail, and your lack of a criminal history, an executive sentence is nothing that the court is going to order. I know that this is your first defense, but Dr. Klein, I do believe that the facts support going ahead and sentencing you as a level 6 felon. As to the fines and costs, the court will fine you $500.
What?
So, two felony charges, a suspended sentence, and a $500 fine.
So he's laughing.
Yeah. He also had his medical license revoked, but he had already been retired for 7 years at this stage.
That doesn't matter.
So, 500 quid. $500.
I'm actually speechless.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a reaction.
I mean, because there's nothing to say here. It's just absolute fucking outrageous behaviour. Yeah. And what? A slap on the wrist for it.
Yeah.
Following the trial, multiple civil suits were filed against Donald, which has cost him in settlements over $1.3 million. Another issue that has arose from his despicable behaviour is health issues in many of the siblings. Many have autoimmune disorders. Because of Donald's own health issues, even if he had been willing to donate to a sperm bank, he would not have been considered an acceptable candidate. Jacoba's attempted to get in contact with him regarding medical history, but he's just not interested in their well-being.
Fucking hell.
Yep. It's an incredibly complex topic, emotionally speaking. The siblings are making the argument that he should have never done this. And of course they're right. But in saying that, they're essentially having to argue that they should never have existed.
Yeah.
A lot of the siblings affected have already had to come to terms with the fact that, biologically speaking, they're not who they thought they were. Their perception of their identity has been completely abused by this man. Regardless of this argument, these people are right to be upset and have feelings of being harmed by this man. In 2018, The mothers and the siblings successfully passed legislation in Indiana making illicit donor inseminations illegal. And now other states and countries are following suit. According to the 2022 documentary Our Father, at-home DNA testing has helped identify an additional 44 fertility doctors who had inseminated their patients using their own sperm.
Fucking hell. It's like something out of a thriller. You'd expect something like, well, you wouldn't expect that in a thriller.
It's kind of, I haven't watched the show, but as far as I'm aware, it's the Handmaid's Tale type of thing. Women are there to reproduce and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, back to the theory with Donald. You know, what the hell was he at? What was his motive for this? Was Donald a part of Quiverful? Is that what it is? The siblings have also considered whether this was racially motivated. All of the children were white, predominantly blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh.
Now, I don't want to keep drawing focus back to this, but again.
Adolf.
Nancy Campbell, who I mentioned earlier, the influential preacher in Quiverful, from her fucking mouth. Are you ready for this one?
No.
Quote, "We are limiting our children. And then we are allowing other cultures to come into our nation who are having a lot more children than us." So, I think there's a chance that these concerns are linked. And also, Nancy, sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
The Quiverful thing, also the racial, I mean, they kind of tie in hand, and
yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah, that does make sense. Right.
It's not good. No matter what, I mean,
well, it's not logical. But it makes sense.
No, I know what you're saying. It's like, if you were to say, just present this as the theory, you go, well, that sounds about fucking right.
Yeah.
Again, we can't really know because Donald is very tight-lipped about all of this. I mean, even when he was given the information, he was like, I swear to God, there's no more than 10. I swear to God, there's no more than 15. Unfortunately, the people affected by Donald's behavior are driven to dive into these theories in an attempt to understand why he would have done this. But with Donald refusing to give any inkling as to why, unfortunately, it's all just theories. What he did was not only morally wrong, but also showed a complete disregard of ethics. It's an agonizing position that these women have been put in. This man has helped women experience motherhood, but through one of the most violating forms of deception. It has been advised that any woman who had previously been a patient of Dr. Klein and subsequently became pregnant, should consider looking into DNA testing. To date, the number of children produced through Donald's morally and ethically corrupt behaviour is known to be 94.
Bit more than 15.
And it's unknown just how high this number will reach.
So it could still be going now?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
That was the most recent figure I could find, but you know, realistically, who knows?
Madness.
Well, that is the case of Dr. Donald Klein, a sick, twisted, dirty old fuck. And Neil, you know, I never use language like that.
Yeah.
It's a horrifying story, don't you think? I mean, it's at a point now where they're just waiting for someone to do an at-home DNA test and another match to pop up.
Yeah. And there's nothing they can do because he's already been... Well, he's not even been charged.
No, not really.
Like,
you know, again, slap on the wrist.
But the bit I don't get is, so let's say it's a racial thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want more whites out there
mm-hmm.
so you can enjoy the world more. But you've made it so you're isolated because he can't go out. He'll get lynched.
No, he's currently just living his life normally in the area.
No one's kicked lumps out of him.
From what I've heard, he's kind of just going about his life. It is what it is. Like, they're kind of, all these people are affected by it, and he's just kind of got off scot-free and, you know, just enjoying his retirement, it seems.
Fuck me.
Mm.
Can you imagine if that were in Sheffield? Like, fucking hell.
For all you know, he could be covering the case of a doctor in Sheffield at some point.
There'd be nothing like this in Sheffield.
Yeah, could be, you don't know.
I don't think we have gynos. We have sex clinics.
You don't think you've gynecologists?
We have sex clinics for when you've, you know,
been abroad.
Post Benidorm. You know, post Ibiza.
Yeah.
And Magaluf.
Mm-hmm.
And all them. Yeah, you have a little clinic you can go in.
Yeah.
And get swabbed in that.
Mm-hmm.
But gyno? Like, it's not the same as it is in America. Like, a gyno is a specialist. You're waiting to fucking see him.
Yeah.
You have to have a condition.
Yeah, over here, you get referrals.
Where they go for a service. They go for fucking MRT, don't they?
They do, yeah. I mean, I don't know how I feel. I always thought it seemed pretty invasive how often, as far as I'm aware, women in America go. But maybe they're right to do that. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. You know?
They're easy to...
They're easy to what? They're easy to... What's easy to?
No, I didn't mean easy.
What?
I meant they're complicated.
They're
very easily complicated.
Oh, there's a lot going
like
on.
Like complications.
Down there. Yeah.
You know, you...
There's a lot we don't even know about
you
them.
You sit on a stool wrong and infection.
What?
Like, it's very easily infected and stuff, isn't it?
What? What did you just fucking say to me?
I said if you sit on a stool wrong...
You want to elaborate? Do you know someone this has happened to? What do you mean?
No, I'm just not. I'm not slagging women.
I think you are.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying that they're very delicate.
Are they?
Well, no, because they can go through childless.
We'll show a 10-pound baby.
Yeah.
Mm. I know what you're trying to, you're wording it very badly, but what you're saying is there's so much we don't know. It's such a complicated part of a body, of anatomy, should I say.
I don't think a gyno knows everything about
a vagina. For sure they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not slagging them off. There's a fucking lot going on down there.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No, I know. But you didn't say that. You said we get infections from sitting on a stool the wrong way.
Yeah, I might have been exaggerating a little bit.
I suppose before we leave this case to go to an oddity, I did just want to mention that Jacoba is actually now a mentor for those who are donor conceived or for those who have been deceived by their doctors. So she's really doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
Not only did she kind of bring this case to the forefront and really push it to get the word out about what this man had done, but she's now helping others who may find themselves in a very complex, upsetting situation.
So has there been more trials on other doctors who've been found to do it?
I'm sure there has been. I have not looked into them. This was very Donald focused, but I tell you what, if I do find it, I will definitely do another case down the line. This fucking sickened me to my core.
It's right. Everything about it is sick, but it's the fact that he was in the next room having
Masturbating. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of a polite way of putting it.
Yeah.
So I was going to say having a go.
Producing a sample.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the next room. It's just...
Well, I think that is a very good way to put it. If anyone, you know, because there were some women who had conceived through him and didn't see an issue, believe it or not.
Oh.
Yes.
Because they saw it as, I got my kid.
Yes. So although the kid may be like, what the fuck? The woman was still kind of like, you know, well, I have
my kid. Their own.
Yeah. And there is also one case where the mother was like, don't tell your father once the child found out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He's going to find out. He's going to be like, Klein, that's that prick.
Yeah.
That's that prick Gyna.
His given name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrifying, horrifying fucking case.
Yeah.
Really, like, just, you know, I mean, when you're reading about so much gruesome graphic details, you know, you kind of, it is hard at times and you got to take a break from it. But this one was kind of just all the way through making my lip curl because it was so kind of like, there's no justice whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, going to trial and basically being told, oh, you. Even how the judge is speaking to him, it's like compassionate towards him because he's some old fuck.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to need you to bring the tone back up now. oddity. Give us a good oddity.
Mary Maloney. Now, before we talk about Mary, we got to talk about Winston Churchill. Controversial figure. Definitely some varying opinions on old Winston, isn't there? Wouldn't you say? Neil said, who just held the peace sign to me right now.
With a cigar in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Winston's views on suffrage were no good. Although he did go on to vote in favour of a woman's right to vote, he had previously been opposed and stated that women were, quote, well represented by their fathers, brothers and husbands.
So he was born in a shitter, you know?
Well, it's fucking rude, to say the least.
Did you know he was born in a shithouse?
You did talk about this before, yes. I never looked it up to see if it was true or not.
For anyone who doesn't know, so Churchill's mum, when she were heavily pregnant with him, went to one of these dance halls and went into labour, and she ended up giving birth to him on the floor in the shithouse.
Right. Anyway, it's fucking rude to say that. And I can't help but feel his reason for voting in favour was maybe, possibly, strategic. So you can imagine he wasn't too popular among the women of the suffragette movement. Enter Mary Maloney.
Mm.
Mary was an Irish woman who was part of the suffragette movement and a member of the Women's Social and Political Union, as well as the Women's Freedom League.
I wouldn't have guessed she was Irish.
Old Mary over there.
Mary Maloney. Fuck me.
In 1908, Winston Churchill was in Dundee doing the rounds for the election. Which there was challenges to Churchill securing the vote in the city due to the numbers of working class voters, Irish Catholics and high numbers of suffragettes.
Same thing, isn't it?
What?
Same thing, isn't it?
Well, you got an issue with that?
What?
What are you getting at? Huh? Did you want to say something, Neil?
No.
The point being, he wasn't the most popular there.
Mm.
Now, during Churchill's speech, Mary shows up with a big dinner bell, you know, the big fuck off bells.
Yeah, we used to cut the thing out of them at school.
Well, why would you do that? How are you meant to know when it's dinner?
What?
How are you meant to know when it's time for dinner?
When we were leaving that school, we got the bell and cut the thing out of it. So they'd just be shaking a piece of metal about.
Well, maybe Churchill should have done that to Mary. As you can imagine, she was pissed off about his previous statements and demanded that he apologise for his demeaning comments towards women. So, while trying to give his speech, every time Churchill attempted to speak, Mary rang the shite out of her bell. Basically, if you're not going to let us have a voice, you're not having one either. At first, Churchill was said to have sort of laughed it off and tried to continue his speech. But after realising that she was stubborn as shit, he eventually gave up and fucked off. Quote, "If she thinks that is a reasonable argument, she may use it. I don't care. I bid you a good afternoon." Sounds a bit salty.
Yeah.
Bit salty there, Winston.
Spat dummy out a bit there.
As he was about to drive off, Winston attempted to get the last word in.
Was the last word bollocks? Shove it up your ass. Is that what he said in the mic?
Well, no. Mary, again, was there. And she was reported to have kind of shouted over and said, "Who is the strongest, an Irish woman or Mr. Winston Churchill?" Mary wasn't given up without a fight.
Mm.
And by the way, it was said that Mary had followed him around for about a week doing this.
She's a persistent little bugger.
She really is. But again, we've talked about this before with the way Irish women are always described. We're like, we're sturdy, we're stern.
Yeah.
We're fucking stubborn. We're just, you know.
Good stock.
Good farm stock.
Yeah.
Farm stock. Farming stock.
See, you're saying that as if it's a compliment to Irish women. But whenever I call you sturdy, you lose your shit.
It depends on the context of how you're saying it.
I'm saying you're a sturdy woman.
What do you mean? Just my overall build or?
Well, you won't blow or in wind.
See, See, I'm not particularly offended by that, because I'm not like petite or anything.
That's what I mean. You're not like a, you're not built like a fucking child.
Yeah, no, but let me just flip it. And if I said like, you're very petite, aren't you, Neil? You're quite short. And, what? You know, you're quite short, petite.
I'm well above average height.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. No, if you actually look it up, average height on a bloke is like 5'7". Average on a woman is about 5'5". Maybe 5'4". He's sturdy, not to be pushed around.
Yeah, but if someone went to hit me, I'd just cower. I'd go into the fetal position. So.
You shouldn't, because you're sturdy. You come from good stock.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, honourable mention goes to suffragette Teresa Garnett from Leeds. On the 14th of November, 1909, Teresa broke through the surrounding police officers, grabbed Churchill by the coat, and hit him a lash across the face with a dog whip.
Fucking hell.
Mm. They were sick of his bullshit, Neil.
Never saw her again.
What a woman, huh? And, you know, Yorkshire, be proud.
It's wrong Yorkshire, though.
Irish and Yorkshire. Oh, no, but come on, like, you know.
It's the wrong Yorkshire. It's the worst one.
Is it?
Yeah. They're not proper Yorkshire.
But look at it. Look at this. Look at us. It's our fucking people teaming up to take them down a notch. Come on, be proud. Huh?
I'd be prouder if people from West Yorkshire didn't slag us lot off from Sheffield.
What, you mean like knuckle draggers and all that?
No, they call us Midlands.
What?
They try and say we're not Northern. We're more or less Midlands.
But you're Southern.
Yeah. So we're below like, them on the map.
But they're West, right?
Yeah.
So they're not like, it's not like they're North and you're South.
Yeah, it's common sense. They don't have that.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.